The presenting sponsor for this episode of the Autism Dad podcast is Mightier. Okay, so I want to take a minute and talk about Mightier. Mightier is a clinically proven mobile gaming app which was developed at Boston Children's Hospital. It's already helped more than 100,000 kids, including my crew here at home. Now, if you're a longtime listener, you know that I'm very big into anything that empowers parents, and that's one of the things that's so great about Mightier. It empowers both parents and kids, and it's all done through play. So how does it work? Great question. Kids play on a tablet or a phone while wearing a heart rate monitor, and Mightier incorporates breathing exercises and other proven calming techniques as part of the game. Kids get to see when it's time to cool down, and they learn how to do it themselves, and parents get to track their progress. With time, those calming skills become muscle memory. All it takes is 15 minutes a day, 3 days a week, and 87% of parents see improvement inside of 90 days. That's amazing. So check out Mightier.com to learn more about the science behind Mightier and how it works. That's Mightier.com and use the promo code TheAutismDad to save 10%. Welcome to the Autism Dad podcast. I'm Rob Gorski and I've got a really cool show for you guys today. I want to kick off a new series that I'm starting called Autistic Voices. And the whole premise behind this is to just have conversations with autistic people and learn. You know, I want to learn. I want to better understand how I can be a better advocate for my kids, how I can better be a positive influence. And I want you guys at home to see autistic people as the amazing humans and resource that they truly are. I have been very blessed in my life to know many autistic people, and they have helped me raise my kids in ways that I would not have been able to replicate otherwise. Autistic people have made such an impact on my life, and we should be listening to them. I think sometimes we get caught up in everything that we're doing that we don't nearly as much as we should. And so I am really excited to have my first guest today. His name is Corey Singer. He is an accomplished singer-songwriter, very, very talented. I've been following him for a long time. And when the opportunity presented itself for Corey to be on the show, I was like, heck yeah, let's do this. Corey has a massive following on social media where he has over 400,000 followers on TikTok alone. He uses his platform not only for his music, but to advocate for autism. He uses his own personal experience as an autistic person and blends it with his unique sense of humor to create this content that is so relatable and so enjoyable that people outside of the autism community are taking notice. And that's so important because that's how we get understanding and acceptance. So I'm so excited. Corey, thank you for taking the time to be here. Could you take a minute and just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for having me. My name is Corey Singer. I am 27 years old. I am a singer-songwriter and I am an autism advocate. I post a lot of videos on TikTok talking about what it's like being autistic for me and getting rid of all the negative stigma behind it and giving people a true education about autism, the education I never had as an autistic child myself. Mm-hmm. So that's who I am. And I mentioned I'm a singer-songwriter.
Were you diagnosed young or were you older?
So I was diagnosed at around 4 years old, and that's because I was nonverbal.
Really?
Until about 4 years old, yeah. My family, my mom and dad didn't know what was wrong with me, and then they found out that I have autism. And they said at around 4 years old, that's when I just started speaking. Like, you know, I get questions all the time, would you start speaking? And my family, I even asked my family, because I can't remember all the way back to when I was 4 years old. And I asked them, like, how did I start speaking? They say, you just kind of started speaking. Like, you just developed later than most children. So I was diagnosed very young.
You were diagnosed young. When you were saying that, you reminded me of my youngest. My youngest he's 13 now. He'll be 14 at the end of the month. He was nonverbal for about the first 4 years of his life. And we actually thought at the time, like, he failed all his hearing screenings and everything. Like, he would not respond to anything. You could crash cymbals behind him and he wouldn't flinch. And he failed all his hearing screenings and, you know, they said, well, we think that he's hearing impaired. And we had to do this one last test where they like sedate him and put electrodes on his head to like measure his brain processing the sound. And they were like, oh, he can hear. He's just ignoring you. Like, he's just tuning everything out. And they said, you know, we think he's autistic. And that took us down that whole road. And so we were learning like sign language and all that kind of stuff to try and help him communicate. And then it was like 4 years old. We got him a boxer puppy. Because we thought, I mean, it wasn't like an actual service dog, but we thought like it would be nice for him to have that connection, you know? And first word he said was dog. And then he just started talking like he could have been talking the whole time. Like he just, it's like, he just wasn't ready to talk.
He didn't stop.
Yeah. And he didn't stop. Yeah. Sometimes I wish he would now, but you know, he's a teenager and he's like all the time. That hit home because that, I remember what that was like. That's so interesting.
Yeah. And I was also very talkative as a teen and, I still am. Get me in front of the right people. I'll just keep going and going. But, like to what you said about your son almost being misdiagnosed with being deaf, I was actually misdiagnosed with Tourette syndrome.
Really?
This is like how far we've come in autism research and just knowledge about autism. My stims, we thought were Tourette syndrome, and the doctor diagnosed that with Tourette syndrome. It wasn't until I started posting on TikTok and I found out through other autistic individuals at 25 years old that I never had Tourette syndrome. It was just me stimming. It's like, wow.
Wow.
Like I had to find this out through people who aren't medical professionals. I like a medical professional diagnosed me with Tourette syndrome, and I don't even have it.
And that is the power of, and we'll get into what you're doing, but that's the power of what you're doing, right? And it's sort of like what I've been doing from a parent's point of view. Like I feel like the doctors and the specialists, like they serve a very important role in a lot of this stuff, but there is so much more that we can learn from each other. And we learned from you sharing your story. And I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was now, and it sparked something in me. And I started down this journey and I was diagnosed with ADHD last week at 43. My whole life makes sense now, but I didn't recognize it for what it was. It's crazy, isn't it, how that works?
Yeah, well, congratulations on the diagnosis, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's I didn't struggle with it at first, but it was like sort of that realization that now everything makes sense. Then I know how to better deal with it and adapt and move on. And I think it's been a positive thing for me. Just because you brought that up, but when you figured out that it was stemming and not Tourette's, what was that like to kind of come to that realization?
I think it's the same realization of when you had ADHD or like, whoa, like what? Like I said, at 25, I find this out a couple years ago. And it's just, it's crazy to me that a medical professional diagnosed me with something I don't have. You know, parts because we thought I had it. And it's just, wow, like if this is also autism, what else? Because my family, they didn't know where to go with my autism. You know, like who to look to. Like we went to all these medical professionals. They could barely tell me anything. I wasn't doing well in school. And I realized, you know, at 25, it all went back to the autism. And so it was almost like I was diagnosed late in life, but I wasn't. You know, it's like I always had the knowledge of being autistic. I didn't know all the things that entailed with it. I thought I was just a socially awkward dude, but like there was just so much more to it than that.
It was like that one connection, that one piece that made everything, it brought the whole picture into focus.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, wow. It's crazy. Just, and again, that's why I do what I do. So like people have the answers that I never had. So I could like, you know, they don't have to go through what I went through. Cause to get to the point where I am today in life was actually a very traumatic road. And, you know, I want to kind of make that easier for other people. Because like, you know, when I was a little kid, there was no YouTube. There was no TikTok. YouTube was just starting and there was, it was nothing like it is today. So now we have that forum and platform, and that makes, you know, you can reach people in a way that you couldn't in person.
And some people might be more comfortable reaching people like that too.
Exactly.
Yeah. It gives you more options and a better way to connect. It's one of the very positive things that come out of the internet. So, and you kind of just talked about it a little bit and you don't have to go into details, but like, was it tough growing up?
It was. Part of it is because I'm an only child.
Okay.
And both my parents divorced at an early age. So that was very hard. And, you know, you had like two parents trying to support me. And you know, I didn't understand myself at all, really. Like I had my special interests and obsessions like any autistic child would. And, you know, I had to kind of find myself, but I had my best friend who I'm still very good friends with today from my childhood. But, you know, even then, like I had a hard time connecting with people because I was always seen as the weird kid, you know, in school too. I had a hard time in not just with, you know, my home life, but in school too. I've had some really great teachers and it's just, they knew how to teach me the subjects that they were trying to teach me. I had other teachers that just thought like a one glove fits all kind of technique in teaching. and it didn't work. And I almost failed a couple times, and they would get on me about it, and I would spend hours on end doing homework. I'd come home and I'd take a long nap because I was burned out from a whole day of, you know, going through the stress of school. And then I would spend hours doing homework that would take a neurotypical child, like maybe not even an hour to do.
Yeah.
So, but I found my route of respect through theater. You know, I was also the theater kid. That's where all the weird kids go. It's like music and theater. So it was like, it was perfect for me. But that's where I got my respect from other people.
Along the way, like, at what point did you pick up music in, I'm guessing more like the arts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did that come into your life?
So I've always been a very artistic person and a very creative person.
Mm-hmm.
I started drawing at a very young age, you know, because I liked creating. And I liked expressing myself. For some reason, I just wanted to be on stage. I can't explain it. It's just something drew me to the stage. And in the fourth grade, I did my very first play, The Velveteen Rabbit. I was the clown. And I was addicted. And I kept doing theater. I did all the local summer drama shows. I did all the school shows. I did all the high school musicals. And when I got towards high school, that's when I really started coming into my own in terms of theater. I was the school theater kid and the school singer. That's when people discovered, because I always knew I could sing, but that's when people discovered I could sing. And I played trumpet from third grade to like my freshman year, and I didn't enjoy it that much. But, you know, I was always surrounded by music. My family was always listening to like Journey, Melissa Etheridge, Stevie Wonder, AC/DC, like Leanne Rimes, like a very Elton John, like a very eclectic music growing up. And my junior year of high school, that's when I first picked up, well, I first picked up a guitar when I was 10, but then I put it down. I was like, yeah, because of School of Rock. But then I wanted to try it again. And that's when I really got into it. And that's when I started opening my mind from just doing musical theater, exploring people like Neil Young and AC/DC, Glenn Hansard, what have you. So, you know, what got me through my childhood was the arts and doing theater, because that was my love. And that's how I was able to express myself.
I was going to ask you if that was an avenue to express yourself.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, if you're the weird kid, you need a weird way to express yourself. It's right there. You know, like a lot of autistic people that I even know personally, all of us were very creative. And I think we like to express ourselves creatively.
Mm-hmm. So you find, so it's easier for you to express yourself through music.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when I did the Candy Factory in 2012, 2013, my senior year, that's when I first began songwriting. You know, that was a singing competition show on Bravo TV run by Candy Burris from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. She's a Grammy winning songwriter, wrote the song No Scrubs for TLC. And I did that show because, you know, there was I got offers to do American Idol, America's Got Talent, because I would put myself on YouTube. But I wanted to do a newer show, and I did that. It was a different type of show. There was a winner per episode. I won my episode. I was the autistic theater kid, of course. And I had been playing guitar for a year at that point. Candy wrote, there was me and one other contestant. She wrote us both a song unique to our story. We had to learn it in a week, perform it in front of an audience, you know, kind of turn us into like a pop star and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was laid out right in front of me, like how to write a song. Candy Burris inadvertently taught me how to write a song, because we had the MP3 with the music with her vocals, and then just the music so we could practice, and the lyric sheet. You know, it's verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, bridge, chorus with the music. I'm like, it's that simple. And it was during the filming of that show, that's when I first started writing, and I've been writing ever since.
Is that a good outlet too, do you think?
Writing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude, I'm writing all the time. Even when I'm at my day job, like, I carry this around with me all the time, because, like, if I come up with an idea, I'll just, like, jot something down, or I'll even if I'm not doing anything, I'll start writing a song while I'm, like, you know, I wrote a song about my job once while I was at my job. And so, and I got home and finished it.
So you get inspiration just wherever you are.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So you started using social media, and then was it TikTok first, or were you on other stuff first?
In terms of autism?
In terms of you putting yourself out there.
So Facebook, Instagram with the music. And this is when I first began music, and I was still developing as an artist. and developing my style, you know, through trials and tribulations of trying to figure out what I have to offer in terms of my art. Because, you know, you can't just like copy other people. You got to find your own thing. It took me 5 years to start writing close to as good as I write now. So it takes a while, and I stuck with it. At times, I almost wanted to give up, but I kept going. But I think it's when TikTok happened, that's when things started to actually start progressing. And I started talking about my autism. I actually didn't want to at first. I wanted to actually never talk about my autism because I didn't want to make it because like, oh, look, Corey, you know, the autistic guy who can write all these songs. I want to be like, oh, this dude who could like write these great songs. He just happens to be autistic. You know what I mean?
Yep. That's what I do with my kids. They're super amazing kids. They just happen to be autistic, you know?
Yeah. And that's the message I try to put out there through my TikTok. And, you know, I feel like that helps.
How have you been able to utilize TikTok to advocate for other autistic people?
When I first started TikTok, my label told me, you got to get TikTok to do the music. And I just like, that's when I was starting to give up on the music. But, you know, I rediscovered it again. But I started putting out funny videos because I liken myself to be a funny guy. And a couple videos did well, actually. But then I made a video joking about my autism. You know, that's when I still refer to it as Asperger's. And which, as we know now, is not a good term anymore. But I joked about how, you know, I have it and it means I have autism and there's nothing wrong with that except for the name because it sounds like Asperger's and it sounds like something you would have after eating McDonald's, McAsperger's. And the video just took off and I'm like, okay, I may have something. And so posting about it on TikTok and talking about it was also therapeutic for me because this is when I was heavy into masking my autism, which I talk about never doing.
Okay.
And I did that for a couple of years, you know, just denying the autism existence. And it was the worst couple of years of my life because, you know, I lost myself. And it wasn't until I started talking about it again and helping other people, I was also kind of helping myself in a sense, come to terms that, you know, it is what it is. This is what I have. And it's not necessarily a bad thing.
If you'd like to travel this summer, but fears over your child's triggers and sensory meltdowns are holding you back, help is on the way. Traveling Different, Vacation Strategies for Parents of the Anxious, the Inflexible, and the Neurodiverse by Dawn M. Barclay contains hundreds of tips for traveling with kids with invisible disabilities from mental health experts, parents, and certified autism travel professionals. Learn how to start small, create predictability, design child-centric vacations that keep your children safe on the road, and how to deal with insensitive onlookers. Discover autism-friendly resorts, cruises, therapeutic sports vacations, and so much more. Traveling Different, Vacation Strategies for Parents of the Anxious, the Inflexible, and the Neurodiverse will be released on August 15th. Pre-order your copy today and learn more by visiting travelingdifferent.com. That's TravelingDifferent.com. Because every family deserves to travel, and the world is waiting. Do you find yourself helping other neurodiverse people as well as everybody else, I guess, to better understand or become more aware and more compassionate, hopefully?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the long-term goal. I mean, especially young kids, because there's a lot of kids on TikTok. If a kid sees that on my TikTok and they recognize that weird kid and they recognize all the traits that I talk about and are like, oh, like they now understand it, right? And also teachers, too. I mean, teachers could learn a lot from it, too. I mean, listen, being a teacher is a hard job.
Yes.
I would never want to be a teacher. I don't have the patience. But, I understand it is a hard job. But I also feel like a lot of the teachers that I had, and again, I had some great teachers. Mm-hmm. But a lot of teachers I had could have used a better understanding of me and how to teach me and to understand the reason why I am the way I am instead of just seeing me as a misbehaved kid who didn't try. And a lot of parents reach out to me saying, and I say this humbly, like that my videos are helping them better understand their kids.
Oh, I totally believe it. Totally believe it.
I also have friends reach out to me that say, like, through your videos, I was able to kind of discover that I might be autistic. One of my mom's best friends, she like recognized some of my traits in her daughter. And then she went to see if she had autism and she got diagnosed. And it's like, my videos helped understand her daughter better. It's like, it makes a difference just talking about it.
Yeah. It's so powerful what you're doing because people should be able to share their stories. and they should feel comfortable sharing their stories, and there should be no shame or stigma or anything like that, you know? And I think I can help my kids, and I can help parents just from like my perspective, and I can help autistic adults maybe better understand where parents are coming from. I can only go so far, right? And like, to have someone like you for my kids to look up to is amazing, because
thank you.
You can be, well, thank you, honestly, because there's so many people out there in the world that we don't want our kids looking up to. You know, you're honest and you're transparent, and you are using yourself and your life experience so that it's relatable, and kids can see that and they can say, you know, like, I can do it too. And you're representing that for them. And that's so powerful. So powerful. What's been kind of the coolest experience that you've had since you've been doing this stuff on TikTok?
Mostly the feedback from parents, other autistic people. I've actually gotten emails from, there's this one girl from England that emailed me who said that like it was great. And when I say all this, I say this humbly, because
I totally get it.
She said, like, I don't like sounding like I'm bragging, but she said like it was cool for once seeing someone out there that she feels like she could relate to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because being autistic, you know, and there's a community of people on TikTok now that like I feel like I belong to. But before that, it can be very lonely when no one understands you. It's like you're an alien from another planet. And you're put here, and it's like your culture shock, but you were born here. You can't help it.
I've been a dad for 22 years now, and this is such a cool experience sitting here talking to you, because like I said, there's a lot that I can do for my kids, but my kids need people like you doing what you're doing and being a positive influence and building them up and showing them that it's okay. Be yourself, right? Like,
yeah,
you're autistic. So what? People always ask me what I call my kids. I'm like, I call them by their names.
Exactly.
We're all just humans.
Exactly. It's like I tell people, like, don't, if I tell you I'm autistic, don't talk to me like I'm a baby. I'm still the same person as I was before. I feel comfortable sharing this information with you. You just got to be chill. Like, the way people need to react is like, oh, cool. So anyway, like, you know, it's just like a regular thing, you know, like,
yeah,
we're trying to, because it is a disability at the end of the day. There's people that want to deny that, but it is a disability. We're trying to get it so people understand it the way they understand blindness, the way they understand deafness.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, and I tell this, we cannot help it at all. Like, we're born like this. It's beyond our control. So, you know, it's, if we could accept it, you're going to have to as well.
I totally support that statement. Okay, a couple of questions. Getting back to your music,
mm-hmm.
What really kind of inspires you to create a song or feel the need to write something down like that and then turn it into something that everybody can listen to?
Like I said, like from an early age, I've always been creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always, like I said, that's the best way I know how to express myself. And I just started learning the piano in January, and I love it. I've been playing guitar for like 10 years, but you know, just started learning because I want to up my game and get better. That's part of it too. Like, I've been doing this for I've been writing for 9 years now. And I just, you know, I keep getting better and better and better with the more I write. And that's my goal. Like, I want to keep, you know, going uphill and keep creating and putting it out there in the world. You know, like, sometimes I write some stinkers, but you know, that sometimes you have to just to get it out of you. But you know, it's just creating something from the ground up that wasn't there before and sharing it with someone and saying, I made this, and being proud of what I made. Like, sometimes I'll have a story to tell. One song I wrote that I'm very proud of, it that I actually wrote based off my autism. It's one of the first songs that I have released and done that actually did well. And this is when I was still in the beginning phase of TikTok with the mm-hmm. autism advocacy. And you know, I wrote it for my followers too. It's like, so we could have a song to relate to. You know, it's one of the first times where I wrote a song and got completely honest. And it's one of my best songs that I've written. And it was a very quick write. When I write something very personal from the heart that people can relate to, that means a lot as well. Like, I just love creating. I'm a creative person. If I'm not doing something creative, then I feel like I have no need for existing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Are you working on anything new currently?
Oh yeah, I have a song that's available for pre-order. We're still working out the release date, called Chance of a Lifetime. If you could go, this is for your audience, you could go to CoreySinger.com. It'll take you to all the streaming services. You could pre-save the song, you know, pre-order it. So when it releases, you have it. It's a proposal song, like very Josh Groban-y.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wrote it as a proposal song.
Okay.
And I'm just in the studio. I'm putting together a bit of an album right now. I'm going to the studio 2 to 3 times a month right now. And just, I have a whole catalog of work that I've been building up, and now I want to start putting it out there, you know?
Very, very cool. What is your ultimate goal? Do you want to continue? Well, I mean, obviously probably continue with the singing songwriting, but do you want to continue the advocacy as well and kind of find some way to do them together? Or like, what is your ultimate goal?
Absolutely. You know, like I said, I want to be known as the, you know, singer songwriter who just happens to have autism. And if that also grants me more opportunities, absolutely, I'll take it. And if it's an opportunity also to educate people on what it's really like, because again, like, it's not like a one glove fits all. Like, if you met one person with autism, you met one person with autism.
Yep.
That's great too. In both avenues, I want to see them both grow and get better.
Do you have any advice for the kids out there who are listening, who may want to try and find where they fit, I guess, or maybe they're struggling to find where they fit, and they look to you because they say like, hey, this guy's, he's like me, and you know, he can do it. You know, what advice, does that make sense? Maybe I didn't ask that right.
No, I get what you mean. It's something I made up when I was a little kid. Focus on your abilities, not your disabilities.
Perfect. What one piece of advice would you offer parents who are trying to help their kids to, you know, reach their potential, enjoy life, be happy? Like, it's a tough job.
It is. And I myself am not a parent, so I want to say this carefully. I would say be very patient. Your child is still your child. Don't compare your child to other children. Automatically, if they're autistic, they are different from other children. And you need to be very patient and not only learn from your children, but learn with them. And don't use someone like me as a model of how you want your child to be, because your child is going to be whoever it is they're meant to be.
That is solid advice that I did not have when I was going to, you know, when I was first starting off. And it's so crazy. I was just talking to, someone else recently. And when my oldest was diagnosed in 2005, nobody knew anything about autism. It was Rain Man on you know, the movie, or that was it. Nobody was talking about it. You could look it up, but there was only, you know, clinical stuff.
Yeah.
And I was overwhelmed. And someone suggested that I write in a journal, and I don't do paper and pencil. So it was a blog that was set up. And I was just sort of sharing what I was struggling with. And then I was just leaving it there and walking away and feeling better. Like, it was therapeutic. Like, you talked about your music and stuff and writing. It was the same thing for me. And people started reading it. And it was people finding out that they weren't alone for the first time. And it was crazy that there's so many of us, but we're so disconnected. And what you're doing is bridging gaps and creating conversation and utilizing technology from today to help spread a positive message. And I wish that had been around for a lot longer than what it is, but we've come a long way in the last 20 years. And I'm excited to see where you go with this, because it's really positive. As a parent, I'm very grateful that you're out there doing this, because it makes life better for all of us. So thank you for doing that.
And thank you. And thank you. Thank you so much for the kind words. That means a lot. Like I said, it's very humbling. And I feel like I'm bragging a lot of times. I don't like feeling that way. And it's just...
I understand. I'm the same way.
It's like... It really is a humbling experience. You know, it's like TikTok. Yeah, sure, I've helped other people. But like I said, it's been therapeutic for me. And, you know, it's... I'm happy. I'm in a better place now than I was a few years ago.
Is there anything else that you want people listening to know before we close this out?
Yes. I'm going to remind you again. Go to my website, CoreySinger.com, and pre-order Chance of a Lifetime, and like, pay attention to any other future songs that are going to be coming out.
Very, very cool. I will have all that stuff in the show notes below. Yeah. So thank you so much for everything that you do and for taking the time to come on and talk to us about it.
Well, Rob, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. And yeah, we'll be in touch.
Yes, sir.
Before I close things out today, I just want to say thank you to Corey for taking the time to come on the show and sharing his life with us. You know, you're doing some truly amazing things. You know, not only are you a talented singer-songwriter who just happens to be autistic, but you are using your massive platform to help educate the public, right? And you're doing it with your own experience, and you're doing it with this blend of humor that really just sort of captures people's attention. And I think that you're making a big difference in a lot of lives. So thank you for that. I really, really appreciate it. You can find all of Corey's information in the show notes below, as well as coreysinger.com, where there'll be links for you to pre-save his newest releases. And yeah, check it out, support what he's doing, follow him on social media, and just help spread the word, because he's doing some really cool things and it's making the world a better place. As for me, you can find me at theautismdad.com. All of my social links are at the top of the page. You can like, subscribe, and listen to this podcast on any one of your favorite podcast listening apps. So please just hit that subscribe button and maybe give it a rating if you don't mind, because it helps me to learn, you know, what you want to hear and what you don't want to hear. So, you know, it works out for both of us. Yeah, I hope you guys have a fantastic week, and I will talk to you next Monday. All right, see you, bye.